Hi there, it's Amy Guth, host on WGN Radio.
And I'm Rex Hupke, a terrible columnist with the Chicago Tribune.
Discourse is at an all-time high in this country, and we're very civilized, and we're thoughtfully...
Shut up, Amy!
We're thoughtfully having conversations.
Stop it!
Shut up right now!
For
you
God's
shut,
sake!
I swear to God, I will go over
you.
Punch you! You! So, in a civilized way, let us take a look at what's happening in political headlines right now. Hi, friends. Welcome back to another episode of Guth and Hupke on Politics. Holy moly. We skipped last week because Hupke was on a vision quest and taking peyote or whatevs out in the desert. Hope you saw what you needed to see, bro.
I found clarity.
Good. What did she look like?
Yes, clarity.
Yes. Well, as a result, I realize how dependent I am on this show. It is my weekly therapy. And without it... I think I was a colossal pain in the ass to a lot of people around me. Because right now there are no people around me. They all deserted. I mean.
I hope our billions of listeners share that feeling that it's their therapy.
I don't know. We'll ask all six of them how they feel about this. But I know for me personally, do not ever leave me again. Rex Hupke, it was terrible. I don't want to talk about it.
I am sorry. From now on, there will be remotes no matter where. No matter where I happen to be soul searching.
We both need to be issued a Comrex so that we can just broadcast from anywhere we find ourselves.
Exactly.
The end. By Thursday, I was really like, God, I'm so crabby about everything. And I was just really crabby. And I'm like, oh, because I didn't bitch to Hupke for an hour. That's why. Well, it's great to have you back.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
Our six listeners are going to be thrilled to have a new episode.
I'm glad. And welcome all of you.
Right. Let me take 4 minutes and hug each one of you.
And I did, you know, last week I did actually go a few days without news. Maybe two was the max.
I was gonna say, because we were like texting about quite a bit of
right
it.
Yeah, there was
this bullshit happened.
Yeah, there was some stuff, but I it was nice though, because you do the tightness in the chest eased a bit, so that was good.
Weird. Yeah. One day I hope to see what that's like.
Yeah, you should try it.
It'll be interesting. Yeah. Okay, so now that you're back, let's stress you out again.
Yay.
Great. So your BFF Bannon, go bye bye from the National Security Council.
Yeah. We hardly knew ye.
Pour some out for our homie Bannon.
Exactly. As I said, my initial response was just like, you know what? Talk to me when the dude is out of the damn White House, because I don't care. As long as he's anywhere near the people's house, I am offended deeply. So
yeah, that's what I said. I was like, okay, that's a first step, but anyway.
And we found out just moments.
Seconds ago.
Just moments before hitting the record button that... he has been replaced by Rick Perry. So everybody should feel a lot better. I feel like Rick Perry is like,
Say what?
National Security who?
Y'all want me to do what? Huh? Damn it. I have had like the what is the, I just blanked on, the Benny Hill theme song in my head for like a week. Because that's what's happening right now with this. So Rick Bannon is out. Perry is in. Okay.
Sleep tight, America. You're
good
in
luck
good
with
hands.
That. Hupke and I will be going to the airport promptly.
Because
I think our enemy of the state status just got upgraded, and that's going to be good. And then let's also talk about Kushner, because that sulky kind of guy that he is, he's a sulky dude. He just looks sulky. Actually, he looks like Botox-y sulky.
Yeah.
Like his face doesn't move enough to be actually sulky.
Yes.
But
he has perfect features.
He's a little robot-y. I'm a little concerned about that.
Well, and you know, the thing with him, to be totally honest, is that
have you not been thus far?
No, I've been lying up to this point.
What the hell?
Sorry.
To be honest.
You know me.
What?
You know me. When I was away on my vision quest.
You do that. I'm going to take some Advil.
Okay, cool. I decided I would... I would stop being.
You think
so
I'm kidding? I'm
time.
Legit gonna take an Advil. Yeah, while you're
yeah, this is this podcast is medicated on live on the air.
Live on the air by CVS brand ibuprofen, because
nice.
They don't pay us the big bucks.
She's grinding it up into lines on the
snorting ibuprofen at this point
on the board here.
Anyway,
it's quite scary.
Kushner.
Yeah, Kushner. You know, the thing with him that is such a huge problem that I think gets overlooked, because everybody kind of looks at the fact that okay, he seems like kind of a doink, but is the fact that we don't know anything to speak of about this guy. I mean, he is not someone who was ever vetted. He wasn't approved by Congress. He is just, you know, one of Trump's advisors, top advisors. And now, all of a sudden, he has been tasked with, as best I can make out, pretty much everything. Like, you know, it's like, okay, you're going to, he was in Iraq yesterday, and, you know, you're like, what, this guy is, as far as I know, he's basically an overglorified realtor from New Jersey.
Right,
and
he's just like the bozo son-in-law.
Right, I mean, he's 36 years old, and that's fine. I mean, get young.
Is he 36?
Yeah.
I wonder why he's that young.
And so, get young, thoughtful, smart people. I mean, the Obama administration had tons of young people in it also, but they didn't really have them out doing major diplomacy.
Sure.
Kushner is in charge of prepping Trump for the visit, the China visit this week.
I sound like a shudder.
Right.
Like,
I mean, it's
nope.
just like, I mean, come on. I mean, this is just, it sends, yeah. For a guy who talked throughout the campaign about showing toughness and all this kind of stuff, having a complete rookie out there running your diplomacy while your Secretary of State, who, by the way, also doesn't seem qualified, is not even visible, it's just preposterous. I mean, you just wonder, like, who's running things? Who is this person? What does he think? Why is he qualified to do any of these things?
You know, I think we're in a post-qualifications era.
It seems that's
not really a thing that we look at anymore.
Yeah, no, I mean, because why? I mean, seriously, well, going back to Rick Perry. But
in related news, I'll be doing heart surgery later.
Yeah, right, exactly. I mean, the jokes have been great about this because everybody's talking about how, like, you know, my dishwasher stopped working, but don't worry, Jared Kushner just showed up.
It's excellent.
Lord. I don't know what to make of that. And you know what? Maybe he's a super genius and is going to do great things, and yay if that happens, but it's just real disturbing kind of to have a totally unknown person with no life experience on this front. None. I mean, he's a business person, and there's nothing beyond that to recommend him for any of these things. And yet,
so he's qualified to be president then.
Right. Yeah, I guess that's a good point.
You know.
But even being you can look at president as being more of almost like a managing position and stuff, but I mean to be actually doing
to be
upfront
the worker bee doing it. Yeah,
that's
and then Eric Trump said that thing about this week. He said something. He had a comment about nepotism. Like, it happens. Like, just chill out, everybody. He's so unconcerned with everything. He's like, it's fine. I'm just gonna go shoot another leopard. Y'all cool? All right.
He's like, I'm gonna go drink the blood of a few youths because I'm a vampire. Dude's a vampire. I'm telling you, he is a straight up vampire. I defy anyone to prove otherwise.
All right.
Yeah.
I don't know what the vampire test is.
I don't either, but he's it.
Hey, so remember the Ben Carson dream I had in which all women had to have their DNA cataloged to decide if we were good Christians or heretics and we were executed on the spot?
I'm forever haunted by it.
Yeah. So I've decided to turn that into a graphic novel.
Oh, that's awesome. That's a great idea.
Because I think the world needs some female superheroes right now.
Yeah.
I think the world needs someone, you know, opening up a can of whoop-ass on a, you know, Ben Carson-like character. We're not going to call him that. I'm going to call him like Jen Barson. I don't know what I'm going to call him.
It's Flynn Darson. Into the room walked famed neurosurgeon.
So what is your... let's back up to Bannon for a minute. What is that signaling to you?
Are you serious about the graphic novel or not? Because you really got me going on that.
Yeah, no, I really want to do that. No, I for reals want to do that. I just wanted to like throw that out there. By the by, that's a thing that's happening.
Yeah, I like that. You should add Eric in a vampire. Like Eric
they're
going
to all be there.
You got to have
that's
that.
The thing.
Yeah,
right. Everyone will be there.
Yeah.
And then like some really good looking enemies of the state.
Nice.
That do a podcast.
You can make yes. Because we all know that the podcasts are what will save us in the end.
Definitely.
Yes.
We're punchy today.
Podcasting
our
way.
As soon as my generic ibuprofen kicks in that I snorted.
Woohoo!
It's gonna be good.
Yes.
So anyway, I want to go back to Bannon for a minute.
Sorry.
What is your read on that move? That like Bannon out, Perry in. Because it seems like, you know, here's someone that Trump has had his back on a lot of crap, and he's been kind of his dude bro, and suddenly, it's not looking that way. Or is it a wait for it? Here's this other shoe that's about to drop thing.
It's so hard to tell with these eggplant heads because they do everything weird and nothing.
What is an eggplant head?
I don't know. I just threw that out there.
Well, if you use it in like the emoji context, it's weird.
Yeah, that's a good point. I didn't maybe that was what was in my subconscious.
Probably.
Just trying to keep it clean, folks.
Sure.
But anyway, there's a couple possibilities. I think one is that, especially since the timing is interesting because it just follows the Jared Kushner rise up to being chief of everything. And there has long been that maybe thought, belief that Kushner and Ivanka are much more, possibly more smarter and certainly more level-headed and less ideologically nutso than Trump and the older crowd. And so perhaps given that Trump's approval rating right now is in the gold toilet and you know, things are just generally not going well, maybe there's a little bit of listening going on to these people who are like, you know, maybe we could start.
When you say, I feel.
Yeah, maybe you could start acting a little more professional. And
can you, like, ixnay the white supremacist?
Yes, yes, right. Let's emouvre the atine from.
Atine.
So that's a possibility, I think. I mean, I don't know at all. I mean, they rolled out this absolutely ridiculous excuse that Bannon was put there, in case nobody's heard about this yet, Bannon was put there basically to babysit Michael Flynn because they didn't totally trust him, which I will say is yet another time when they offer an explanation that is so self-damning, it's staggering. They do this constantly where their explanation actually makes the situation worse. So it's like, okay, so you brought Michael Flynn in and put him on the as your national security advisor, though you did not trust him. And because you didn't trust him, you put Bannon on the National Security Council, and now his work there is done. Bye-bye. So it's just bad. It makes no sense. So I don't know exactly.
Oh, it's all bad.
Yeah. I mean, and then the other possibility is that Bannon's just like, man, I don't care. I want to go ruin something else. So, you know, he's going to go muck around in some other insidious corner or something like that. So I don't know. But I do think that I think the Kushner stuff is a possibility. I think Trump was really walloped by the defeat of the healthcare stuff. And you've heard him now talk about possibly working with Democrats. And again, I think that I still contend that the GOP's greatest fear has always been not that Trump is a crazy, bigoted narcissist, but that he might be reasonable with Democrats and actually have some liberal-leaning tendencies. And so if you've got some of that coming from Ivanka and Jared, possibly, and that's starting to influence him a little bit, then, you know, who knows? Who knows what could happen? There's no ideal. Again, we know that there's no ideological core here.
No.
You know what I mean? And so if Bannon is getting in the way, they'll throw him on the scrap heap. They don't care. I think.
Yeah, I'll buy that.
Neat.
Great. Okay. Scene.
All right. Good podcast, everybody. We're going home.
Good talk. I'll buy that. I still think I trust Bannon so little, and I just think he's so shifty.
Yeah.
He's a little shifty guy. I just think there's something going. He's not there's more to this. There's always more to everything, but especially with this administration, there's more to this. There's another beat here that's going to happen, and it might, I fear, turn out to be a worse thing. Like Bannon will be appointed somewhere else.
Yes,
where he can wreak more havoc.
There is no bottom, I don't think, to any of what we're seeing, but I'm somewhat relieved, I think, because I'm now thoroughly convinced that. While these guys are, like, people like Bannon, I think, are very, very insidious and dodgy in many different ways, they have also proven themselves to be staggeringly dumb and incompetent. This is not evil genius. This is like...
Oh, no. No, no, no.
Really, really... And maybe not... I don't mean dumb as in not intelligent, because I have every reason to think Steve Bannon is probably a very intelligent person, but they are so arrogant and so full of their own twisted worldview that they don't think there's any possibility that they could do anything wrong, and yet all they have done since coming into office is everything wrong. I mean,
and in a way that's almost comedy of errors, where you pick up this off this shelf, the shelf collapses, you turn around, you hit your head on the cabinet, this falls, this happens, blah blah blah. You know, like all the things, the cards keep falling in that kind of a way.
Exactly,
and because there's lack of a broader scope of order, of process, and like a lack of management skills, the way you announce things, the way you release information, you don't just tell the first person you see, you have to, you know, control that message. with anything. Even if you're the boss of like three people, you got to do that.
Yeah, and you know, they both, Trump and Bannon both, are kind of coming from this world where they can just sort of spew crap and just keep going. They don't ever have to double back and correct anything or look or worry about how something does not line up with something that was previously said. They, I mean, Breitbart and just Trump's weird little Twitter reality TV world, he never had to worry about that. But what's happening is that everything that they keep doing, like I was saying before, the responses are so baffling. I mean, Russia, you want to change the subject.
Yeah.
But all they keep doing is bringing it back. Right. And now this crap with Susan Rice, now they're pointing the finger at Susan Rice because she has unmasked, apparently, people, all of which, at this point, based on what we know, is fully within what she should have been doing as the National Security Advisor under Obama.
But I think, too, like to accuse her of having committed a crime, just as he accused Obama of wiretapping, I don't think he realizes how serious it is to do that.
Right, when you're president.
It's a really big deal to accuse someone of malfeasance and lawbreaking when you are the president.
Yeah, exactly.
And I'm just so stunned at his, you know, lack of giving a shitness about that kind of thing.
Yeah. Yeah, no.
I shouldn't be, but I'm glad that I still am, because that means I'm not getting desensitized to the fire hose of complete shitshowery.
Right. That's what it is, because, yeah, you're right, because if to give a little background on this, the when intelligence is collected on foreign agents...
Are you giving background to me or just to listeners in general?
To the listeners.
Okay, I was like, what the fuck is happening right now, mansplainer?
I'm not mad. Come on. Give me some credit.
Well, actually, what you need to know about mansplaining, Amy. I'm just kidding. I just wanted to say mansplain because we hadn't said it yet.
I only mansplain ironically.
Right.
No, I was trying to, just in case anybody out there is not 100%
in case someone is like, one of our six listeners is like madly Googling right now to go, what the hell are they talking about?
What are they talking about here? No, so... Basically, when we're surveilling foreign agents, sometimes innocent Americans are caught up in that surveillance and their identities are cloaked in intelligence reports. But intelligence officials or the National Security Advisor, for example, could ask for that to be unmasked in order to provide context to the intelligence, et cetera. There's various steps that have to go through. There has to be a reason to unmask an American who was caught up in surveillance.
Right.
And so what they're saying now is that they have evidence, which is probably true, that Susan Rice requested a number of different names to be unmasked from surveillance, some of which involved Trump campaign people. Some of which involved Russians.
Right.
And some of those who were unmasked may well have been Trump campaign people. We don't know the exact details because nothing's fully released yet. But the point is, there's nothing wrong with that. She was the National Security Advisor at a moment when the intelligence officials were investigating Russian interference in our election. Seriously, like it was a big, a big deal. And so what she did at the time, and we don't know to what degree she did it, but whatever she did doesn't sound like it was in any way improper. But they're making the jump that she politically made these people get unmasked and then shared that and leaked it. And there's no evidence whatsoever to support that.
So what is really interesting, which is my new favorite hobby in the world, is to plug a topic into Google News and look at how all the different outlets are treating a topic. And so if you put her name in, the top stories as configured by Google's algorithm of popularity and link sharing and all that. The first one is the New York Times story. The headline on it is Trump, citing no evidence, suggests Susan Rice committed crime. The second one is Fox News, and it says Susan Rice's alleged unmasking requests, not so routine, ex-officials say. What a phenomenally, stark difference in the two. I mean, I love, citing no evidence,
Imagine any president, take that headline and put any other president in it. President X, without citing any evidence, accuses person Y of a crime.
Yeah.
What the hell has that ever happened? That has never happened. That is absolutely ridiculous.
And so it is that we have come to expect this because he's not a politician. He's a reality star and a realtor.
Yeah.
Is what?
Gosh darn it.
And so.
But you're right, though, and that is a perfect example of the dual reality that we're living in. There is the reality where people are looking, are paying attention to sources that are reputable and listening to what's been reported. Now, it's possible that Susan Rice did something bad. That's totally
possible. It's absolutely possible.
And as far
but
as
you can't just haul off and go there.
Right, but you're, yeah, exactly, because you're proceeding with, what everybody's doing is proceeding with an assumption of nefarious behavior while giving a complete pass to Trump. And the the fair, honest reality of this is that there is a lot of evidence that makes what's happening on the Trump side seem really dodgy.
Mm-hmm.
Not sure, but there's a lot of evidence. There is practically zero evidence on the Obama-Susan Rice side of anything being done incorrectly. There is merely the consistent assumption of evil behavior. And so...
Well, she's a woman.
Well, that too. She's a smart woman, too. That's the worst kind.
Right. The worst kind.
Oh, and she's African-American. So,
right.
My
so,
goodness.
Clearly, he cannot trust her.
No. That is bad news.
Hey, sidebar on that. Can we talk about April Ryan for a minute? April Ryan, veteran journalist, in that Sean Spicer shushed and told to quit nodding.
Oh, I didn't see that.
Oh, this is a real good one. So... It is fascinating to me, the, you know, it was like she didn't stand a chance. And it was yet another example of a man having a, or a person at all. We'll save the gender part for a minute, for a sec here. But it is another example of a person having a preconceived notion about another person. No matter what she did, she was going to be angry black woman. Like she was, you know, no matter what. And he was going to stop shaking your head. Stop nodding. Stop. You know, he, like, I was so pissed off. Like, stop policing people. Stop doing that. Stop policing women's anger, women's reactions, women's, like, everything. So done with that. So done with that. On that subject, I've been thinking about that because wage equal pay day was mm-hmm. this week. And I find it horrible how, like, I wrote something about it yesterday. And thank you for pointing out the typos, Rex Hupke. And
no, but it was very good.
Thank you.
And you should look for it in Amy Guth's Medium page. Is that what you call it? A Medium
page? Yes.
Medium blog?
Follow
Medium.
Me on Medium.
Follow her on Medium.
You should do on yeah. that one.
Legitimately go. Really excellent points, I thought.
Thank you. Well, I continue today, even minutes before we walked into the studio, to get like mansplainy corrections, policing my tone in the piece, policing the points I was making. So, well, no, in fact... Well, actually, women in negotiation, and well, if you don't behave professionally. And someone brought up April Ryan about, like, well, here's an example of, and someone brought up Rice of, here's an example of. I was like, stop, 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 stop. Everybody stop. Everybody just shut up for a minute. Everybody go to your carpet square. We're going to all take a nap. Everybody's going to chill for a minute. This is, it's, I just think this is, I mean, I say this every week. Except for last week, because you deserted me for your vision quest. But I say this every week, that the it's ratcheting up all this other behavior, like all this crazy shit. And I'm on a tangent here, and I recognize that. But it's like by the president of the United States accusing someone of a crime, another official of a crime, so casually, it is yet another way where just like... the lines get pulled a little further apart over and over and over. It's like little, I hate to use buzzwords, but it's like little, well, it's not even a microaggression.
Oh,
it's
no,
a total aggression,
yeah,
right?
Like a nuclear aggression.
Right. So it's like the lines keep getting pulled further and further apart so our expectation of appropriate behavior just keeps getting pulled further and further away from reality.
Mm-hmm.
And it's fucked up. And Twitter is both a lovely place and a terrible place. Ooh, sometimes.
So terrible.
So terrible.
It really is. It's a sewer.
I mean, at one point I'm just like, let it go. That was yesterday.
Yeah.
Stop. Let it go. Move on to the next thing. But I keep seeing more and more examples of this where, like, it's always been shitty and there's always been online abuse and there's always been all that. But it's changing. It's getting different. It's getting louder because we have the king of the trolls in the White House, who is modeling super shitty behavior and a cavalier attitude about really serious things. And it's like moving the needle on expectations of appropriate behavior.
I totally agree.
And you damn kids get off my lawn,
yeah,
while we're at
right.
it. Like, it's that kind of day, but yeah.
Yeah, you know, I mean, this is like, what did anybody think was going to happen? I mean, you put a bully in the White House. I mean,
absolutely.
A bully, straight up.
Straight
I mean,
up a bully.
No, yeah, I mean, there's no... not going to even begin to try to soften that. I mean, that just speaks for itself.
He's beyond bully, in fact, because we talked about this. He has exhibited classic behaviors of abusers.
Mm-hmm.
Of
oh, yeah.
The gaslighting and the saying a false thing over and over and over again and just refusing to, like, repeating a lie until probably he himself believes it.
Yeah.
It's classic abusive behavior, and that we have an abuser in the White House.
Mm-hmm.
And it's frustrating because it's spinning so fast. I think it's hard for people to see where to push back, how to push back, how to keep their foot on the gas, how to, and I think that's largely by design, that you can't keep focusing on one thing when five other things have popped up. It's national whack-a-mole is what it is.
Right. How many past press secretaries, White House press secretaries, have shushed any?
I don't know, but probably not many.
Yeah. I mean, I don't. And so that is okay, apparently, because of the tone that has been set by the person in charge. I mean, it's the same as any other business, too. I mean, people take signals from whoever is running the place. And so that's the problem there. But then you also have people just in the wide world now who are seeing this and thinking, woo, yeah, all right, it's back to the good old days where I could, you know, call them as I see them and whatever.
Well, it's that thing I always say. Yeah. If you catch yourself being pissed off about, quote, unquote, political correctness, switch that phrase in your mind for treating people with respect and see what happens.
Yeah.
You don't want... It's not about don't censor me. No. If you're pissed off about political correctness, you want license to be a fucking asshole.
Yeah.
And a racist and a bigot and a sexist. And come at me if you disagree. I dare you. I will die on this hill. I will fight that all day long.
I totally agree.
Because that's all that is. And it is 100%. It is nothing beyond that. It is someone wanting to be assured that it is okay to be as big an asshole as you want and as racist as you want and classist and sexist and all those things, and fuck that.
Yeah. Or to just be lazy and not have to worry about, you know, what other people think, or if they're, you know, just to be able to say something and be like, oh, I didn't mean that, or what, you know, no, that's not.
Or yeah, to say, oh, I was just kidding,
right.
Back off. Like,
yeah.
Well, no, you said the N-word, or you called that woman, you know, a babe, or whatever. Like, stop. Everybody stop.
Yeah, it takes so little.
Not that those two things are equivalent, but you know what I'm saying.
Right, no, I know. It takes so little brain power to be able to adjust yourself to not be obnoxious and awful and hateful.
Right.
Or not even hateful, but I mean, just, you know, offensive. I mean, if somebody says that something offends them, if I'm saying something and it offends them, I don't care what it doesn't have to be a, you know, anything. I mean, maybe it offends them that I, you know, use a certain profanity occasionally or something like that. I'm going to try to be like, okay, you know, look, I don't want to, okay, I get it. I mean, maybe I don't agree, but I'm going to try to not do that around you because I don't want to make your life harder.
Because I give a shit about you,
right. Yeah.
And I don't want to upset you.
I'm not going to just get on my high horse and say, yeah, screw you. I'm not, you know, like, come on. I mean, that's just, it's just a general measure of human kindness is really what it boils down to.
I think we're in a post-kindness era. Also, post-qualification, post-kindness, all those things. Hey, speaking of people being totally inappropriate and assholery, let's talk about Bill O'Reilly.
That guy. Yes, he's down to one sponsor, and it's Trump Steaks.
Right? And like, crappy brand of, I don't know, some kind of weird Band-Aid and like maybe a syringe manufacturer.
Catheters.
Like, that guy's so fucked. Yeah.
But yeah, he, so yeah. No,
so I mean, he has been accused there over the weekend. It was revealed by a New York Times investigation that there were multiple allegations of sexual misconduct
and settlements
and settlements and harassment and inappropriate behavior and all kinds of things that he does not want people to know, I'm willing to guess. And so I think, how many have withdrawn? Like at least a dozen have withdrawn, but like big names, like I think Mercedes or somebody, like someone big backed up.
Yeah,
like,
Mercedes,
nope,
Hyundai,
I'm out.
Gosh, there was a ton. Yeah, no, there's been a impressive number, and more, I would venture to guess, are going to come, because it's not just him, too. I mean, that the network has had major problems with Roger Ailes.
Yeah, it's culture. You know, when you have it, once is... you can pin on an individual.
Mm-hmm.
If you have more than one happening at the same broadcast outlet, it's culture. It's absolutely culture. Yeah. I've called bullshit on that, and I'll say this. I have called bullshit on that here in Chicago in this market when multiple hosts from a particular station started saying really horrible and reprehensible shit in public forums. It's at that point, it's culture. Mm-hmm. It's culture that's hiring people who don't know right from wrong and are complete misogynists. And it's culture that allows them to thrive and culture that doesn't punish them.
Right.
It's exactly what's happening at Fox. Not surprising at all whatsoever.
No. And I mean, perhaps the most telling thing here is that Fox is not actually covering this at all.
That's my favorite.
They're not talking about it. And you're like, okay, well, there is a tell that this is sort of a, you know. But the thing that, and I want to hear your perspective on this, because it's not something I can, as a guy, I can't answer this. But I cannot, okay, let's look at, because what just happened today, the New York Times had an interview with Trump. And in that interview, along with saying that Susan Rice had, evidence-free, had committed a crime, he spoke up in defense of Bill O'Reilly and said he's a friend. And I don't think he did any of these things. And so we have a president who was caught on tape admitting to sexually assaulting women.
Right.
In very graphic terms. And was still elected president. That guy is now supporting a guy who has been multiple settlements and along with multiple accusations of sexual harassment. And also at a network that was previously run by a guy who had to step down.
Just about to say that, yep.
Because of Gretchen Carlson and other sexual harassment allegations. And Trump also supported him, Roger Ailes. At the time, and spoke out in favor, not in favor, but in support.
Well, if
of
you're
him.
A rape culture apologist, that's what you do.
Right. So what? There's this, like, and this is, you know, as high profile as you can possibly get here.
Oh, yeah.
And so you have three guys all kind of, you know, supporting each other, because Bill O'Reilly's a big Trump backer and everything, too. So, and Ailes obviously was. So, I mean, Ailes was almost on his campaign at one point. So,
oh, yeah.
So, I mean, look at that. I mean, is there anything more shockingly emblematic of the sort of good old boys, you know, club and like this sort of cycle of, like you said, a sort of harassment apologists and stuff like that. I just can't imagine what it.
You know what it reminded me of when Trump said that when he went to Bill O'Reilly's defense today? It reminded me immediately when Brock Turner's father wrote that letter of like, this is all a big misunderstanding. And I don't remember the phrase he used, but it was something like, for, you know, 20 minutes of activity or what, you know, said something very dismissive of the seriousness of sexual misconduct, of rape, of this. That's why I'm saying this. It's rape culture apologists run rampant here, because it's this entitlement, the sense of entitlement over women's bodies, and these jags believe they can just touch us and do whatever they want, and it is absolute nonsense. I'm not surprised at all that he came to his defense.
But what is that? I mean, to me, it's just that I try to put myself in that position, and whether you're a woman who's dealing with harassment or not, but to see that happen, that seems like that would be a hopeless feeling to see it happening at that level. I mean,
you're like, shit, I can't even, if, you know, say you're dealing with that in the workplace.
Right.
You're like, well, shit, the president is, you know, an apologist here. What good is this going to do if I go to HR or whatever?
Right. And also the president just a couple days ago released some kind of a statement on Sexual Harassment Awareness Month.
Oh, I saw that. I was like, are you serious?
But a couple days before that, I think it was right at the end of March, they rescinded some of Obama's executive orders on that dealt with the ability to report harassment.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
It was part of the equal pay and I forget the name of the overall order that was rescinded, but it included language that would make it easier for women to report sexual harassment and for it to be dealt with in different ways. So,
well, you ladies are probably wearing a low cut blouse, so let's not worry about that.
Yes. That hit me today, and I was just like, you know.
I know.
What a sickening feeling. And again, it doesn't look, I mean, I can't put myself in that position, but
people talk about your legs a lot on Twitter.
Yeah, it's
particularly
true.
Your calves.
Yeah. I've fed that, though. I have to say, I've brought that on myself.
Fair enough. Fair enough. Right. No, it is emblematic, and it is yet another thing from this administration that I believe is eroding culture. The problem is when the difference when, you know, I think sometimes on the far right, people say, oh, that's eroding culture, or this is, you know, undermining our values. No, the difference I'm talking about is I'm talking about things that just keep people safe, that don't feed male supremacy and the patriarchy, and that don't put women in danger. And because I believe everyone has a reasonable expectation to safety as they're going about their day. And if you have this corrosive agent talking this way, behaving this way, with a very cavalier attitude, making accusations and standing up for people who treat women terribly and like objects, well, and feels entitled to touch and behave inappropriately with women without their consent, well, that's going to trickle down, and that's going to erode culture elsewhere. And it's going to empower people in not a good way. I don't mean empower to pursue STEM careers. I mean empower to yes. grope and be terrible and break the law. Yeah. And I'm starting to lose sleep about that part of it. Like, I feel like I've maybe gotten into the rhythm of, okay, new day, 10 new stories that are going to not give me a heart attack because I got this now. Mm-hmm. And I think it's that, it's like a steady drum of that, though, of this, the cultural part, the giving a wider, more empowered voice to white supremacy, to sexism and beyond sexism, misogyny and expectations of safety for women that are falling away and big things like that. That's what's keeping me up at night.
Well, you know, one of the most twisted things about the specific situation we're talking about is that, first of all, the president should not be coming to the defense, really, right. of anybody. I mean, you know, right. I mean, like, unless it's his own, someone in his cabinet or, you know, somebody accuses somebody, but there's no reason for him, especially not a person in the media. It's weird. It's
right.
inherently
weird. I thought
weird.
You hated the media, bro.
Right. And so it's odd, but also, I mean, okay, let me walk through this. It's Bill O'Reilly is constantly kissing Trump's ass. And yeah. So there is an advantage for Donald Trump personally to respond to this and throw his support behind a guy who's accused of all these things.
Oh,
so,
definitely.
So Trump's take away the fact that Trump himself is a, you know, admitted sexual assaulter and has a horrible track record in
sure.
general when it comes to women. Take that away. But just the very fact that he's doing this, he doesn't even begin to think about the possible implications of it.
No,
all he is thinking about here is his own self-gain by saying something.
Mm-hmm.
There is no thought whatsoever in this guy's head that says, wait a minute, if I say this, am I sending a bad message about sexual assault or about or harassment or not sexual assault? That's not what he's agreeing, but sexual harassment.
Right, right.
You know,
entitlement to women's bodies.
Right. He's just not even on his radar anywhere.
No,
and that's
no.
and that's what really, that's what's really gross.
Well,
and
look, anyone who's going to say something to a relative stranger or say even just someone they're about to be interviewed by, and anyone who would say something like grab him by the pussy.
Yeah.
That's who we're dealing with. We're dealing with a complete narcissist.
Yeah, not that we should.
Bully,
yeah.
abuser, you
yeah,
know?
Right. I mean, I'm not saying that we should necessarily expect better. But again, it's just another, I mean, that's like another, you know, you kind of.
Well, but we do, though. I think we have to demand better.
Yeah.
And that's the thing is, what does that mean? What does that mean to demand better besides just getting him the hell out of there at the first possible chance we can? And it's not going to be one thing that's going to fail him. It's going to be the steadily keeping a foot on the gas pedal and not letting him off the hook for any of the bullshit. But nonetheless, what does it mean? What are the verbs attached to demand better and insist that we, you know, he keeps the person in the White House keeps dignity of office? I don't know. I don't know what those verbs are other than vote his ass out. But like, what are the day-to-day things? Because I think, again, I've said this before, I think people are getting tired. I think their little upticks happen after like a big surge of activity contacting legislators. People go, okay, wait, that did matter. I called my representatives and some shit happened. Good. Okay, that's good. But I think people have certainly let off. certainly not doing so in the way and the volume and frequency they were right after the election.
Yeah, I think you're right. I mean, I think that was a good swell for the healthcare bill.
That's what I mean. Yeah, right. That's where people were like, worked. Okay.
Yeah, and so I think that it may be situational. I mean, because that's the problem, like you're saying, is that there's not a specific thing you can do.
Right. Like you can't get thrown out of the White House for just being an asshole.
Right. Yeah. Right. Exactly.
You know, so what is the thing to press upon when it's culture? I mean, that's the hard part. I mean, I think that's a big difficult thing to wrestle with is the culture part. I mean, apply that to anything. Apply that to like online harassment, apply that to workplace harassment, apply that to anything. When it's culture and when it's death by a thousand cuts, it's not always a big egregious announcement like grab them by the pussy. Sometimes it's like, you know, not inviting women to meetings in the workplace or comments or just different treatment, things like that. I mean, that is real, but it's the hardest thing to address because it's not illegal per se, because it's a comment, it's a belief, it's an attitude, and that's hard to police that, and it's hard to hold and demand accountability for that.
Big time, yeah. That's incredibly hard to. You have to be able to basically assemble like a massive timeline and amount of anecdotal stuff to. So yeah, that gets impossible.
Yeah, like changing culture. I mean, I think that was a few years ago in the corporate world, particularly in the tech sector, it was all about culture. Everyone's talking about workplace culture, blah blah blah. Changing culture when you have a really gutted workforce, a really like demoralized workforce. I mean, there were some leaders that were kind of praised as being so-and-so came in and really changed the culture and did that. That's a very hard thing. That's not, you don't just walk in with a new employee handbook and like give them all, you know, casual Fridays every day. I mean, there's big held beliefs and structural and systemic things that you have to tackle to do that. And here we are playing with that on a national scale about some very serious things. I think we're going backwards. I think we're eroding progress of equality so terribly that I think by the time he leaves the White House, I really fear that we're going to be in bad shape. Now, the opposite might happen. People might be so pissed off by the time he leaves that we might actually come out ahead in the end because people realize how fucked up things are. That's my hope.
You know, the thing that I keep going back to, which is just so bizarre to me, is and we're seeing it with the Bill O'Reilly thing, with the number, the speed and volume of which sponsors have pulled away from him.
I love it.
But again, I feel like the check on all of this stuff, oddly enough, is corporate America. I mean, because they are not going to, the progress that has been made socially and in terms of, you know, respect for women in terms of respect for immigrants, even, you know, people of other faiths and LGBT people and all these different areas.
Basically, everybody who's not a white dude.
Right.
Straight white dude.
Yeah, exactly. That.
No offense to you and your people. Huffy.
None. That's that's okay. I'm fine. I'm my own people's worst critic. But that's, you know, we absolutely know that is from, I mean, it's just clear now that is not, is going backwards. That's not going to move backwards. It just doesn't work. Like, you're not, I'm sorry, but you, I mean, again, look at the Super Bowl commercials that were like 90% pro-immigrant, it seemed which is a direct assault on everything that Trump stood for. And you know, just the way people react to the bathroom bills when the transgender bathroom bills when they get brought up in states and they pull everything out and it costs, you know, North Carolina billions of dollars and blah, blah, blah. That's a big check. I mean, I'm not saying that makes everything that's going on right.
Right.
It doesn't, because
it
is eroding things. I'm not saying that's going to make up for it. But the inertia of the
progress is going to
overwhelm the backward sliding, because there's only so many
now
doinks who will slide backwards.
You like doinks.
I'm using the word doinks a lot lately.
I would say.
Just derailed.
I just facepalmed the shit out of myself after that. And then we got to run. But what in the hell was I going to say? Oh, I was going to say the footnote to everything you just said about brands and corporate America is that today Pepsi pulled a commercial.
How did we miss that? Oh my God, I totally forgot about Pepsi.
That was so terrible.
It was like a Saturday Night Live skit of to make fun of capitalism or something. It was just ridiculous.
Oh my God. It was one of the Jenner children was in the, I don't remember. It started with a K, I'm sure. One of the Jenner
Kendall.
Children.
Kendall. Jenner.
Kendall, that's yes. the one, was in a Pepsi commercial that many believe trivialized Black Lives Matter. Quite a bit.
It did. Yeah,
it
there's
did.
No question.
I was trying to be diplomatic, but like, no, it legit yeah, did.
Absolutely.
Like, whoa.
Yeah. Right down to the like iconic photo of the young African American woman who was standing up to the police, and I forget where that was that protest
yeah.
happened. But you know the
yeah.
one, you know that beautiful photo,
right?
And it kind of ends with Kendall Jenner handing a Pepsi to a cop. It's like, oh my God, what are you doing?
It was like, what are you thinking? Someone is making a lot more money than we are by like triple, quadruple, bajillion. Getting paid. And somebody thought up that ad, and then someone else said, good idea.
So
someone filmed it and funded it, and then the Jenner child was like, great idea, I'm in.
Oh my God. There's a guy on Twitter, he used to write for The Daily Show. His name's Trayvon Free, an African-American guy, comedian, who tweeted something along the lines of, this is what happens when there are no African-Americans in the room when decisions are being made. And I'm like, yeah,
yeah,
he's absolutely right. Holy cow. I mean, who on earth was like, oh, yeah, that's a great
idea.
Oh,
that's fun.
That's going to look great.
Let's really do something like activist-y. That's going to be fun. It's going to really pop. It's going to pop. It's going to be great. Let's do that.
Like, I don't even get how the people of color in that piece weren't like rolling their eyes.
Like,
wait, you want me to do what?
What? Wait. You cast me for what ad? Because I don't think that, yeah.
That was a bucket of crazy. And they pulled it.
Holy
it's
shit.
It's already down. I mean, they must have spent $1 billion on the thing.
I was saying.
Because it was long. It was like 2.5 minutes.
It was long. There are scenes that involve, I'm sure, like closing streets and shit like that. Like,
yeah.
It's not cheap to do
oh,
that.
No. Yeah.
So, oh, yeah, that was one of those like record scratch. What is happening right now?
Yeah.
What?
I didn't say corporate America was perfect. I just said that it's helping a little bit in some ways.
Yes.
Maybe not so much that way.
And let us just take this moment to remind everybody why workplace diversity
oh, God. Yeah.
is really important. Because if it is a homogenous group of people making a decision, doing a thing, putting something out in the public forum, perhaps let it occur to you that you and the people that look just like you might have some cultural blind spots.
Yeah, maybe run it. Could you? How did they? Did they not like focus group that afterward? Like run it by a few people who were like, "What the hell is this?"
Hey, you know what? I was just reading this today, right before we started. There's publishers of children's books are hiring sensitivity readers. That's a job that you can have now, and I think you get like $200-$300 per children's book to read the book and look for insensitive things in the book, like racial or gender or sexist or whatever kind of insensitivity. And
this wrongly portrays bunnies.
Right. Right. Like stuff like that.
Yeah, right.
Like, well, I guess it came out. There was a children's book that I don't remember the name of it. I had not heard. I didn't know of it, but probably because I don't have kids. I don't know a lot about children's books outside of like Dr. Seuss. But It I guess portrayed some kids in a way that like was everybody. I haven't seen the book. I don't know, but apparently people thought it was quite racist. Some of the drawings in it.
Yeah,
so sensitivity readers.
Wow, sounds like an okay gig.
I'll read a children's book for $300 and tell them it's a sexist, patriarchy enforcing piece of shit. I'll do that.
What the hell are you doing with a hippo here? I don't agree with this.
Right. I don't know what's happening, but that clearly
seems kind of sizist.
Sizist. You're going to be on this for a while. I'm going to rue the day I gave you this idea. Well, that does it for us this week. We will see you next week because that was the one and only vision quest that Rex gets for the year. So he's not going anywhere. It's fine. But we will see you back here next week. And I'm sure lots of crazy shit will happen between now and then. We didn't even talk about Syria. Holy shit. We didn't even talk about Syria.
Just completely overlooked that.
There's so many things. We could talk about Bill O'Reilly alone for like 4.5 hours and not even cover it all. But nonetheless, check the facts, do the things, retweet smart people, not dumb ones. Any other good advice for our 6 listeners?
Be nice.
Be nice.
Be nice. And
don't be a douche.
Encourage more people to listen to us. We're looking for 7 by next week.
We've set some milestone goals here. We're looking for a seventh listener. It's going to be good.
Now that RC Cola is our sponsor.
Right,
because we're such good Pepsi bashers.
Holy moly. Yeah, right. Now that Pepsi's like, well, I was going to sponsor them, but I'm out.
Couldn't get Coke, but we went with RC. It's okay.
On that fine note, bye, friends, and we will see you next week on Guth and Hupke on Politics.